This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Guests appearing on Hide and Seek provide general information only. What you hear on the show should not replace consulting your mental health professional. If you're in need of immediate care, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. In an emergency, always contact 000.
This has me very rattled.
Can you come in here, please?
What?
This is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
I'm officially out of control.
Stop thinking with your dick.
That's all right. I'll just attribute this to your drinking problem.
I could walk out of here and boom. You're very unique.
Free yourself from the confines of the past. Here to guide us towards the life we want to live.
God's chose well.
Our compassionate counsellor, Stu Fenton.
He joins us on the line. Stu, welcome.
Hi, Dean.
Now, HIV diagnoses, whilst it's, you know, we understand the medical aspect of it, from a personal mental health perspective, it can totally destroy somebody. How does somebody rebuild their lives from that moment that they first discover they are HIV positive?
I mean, I guess what I see is that different people react to it in many different ways, you know, and so often it depends on how they contracted it as well, you know. It's very rare that I ever do counselling with anyone around their HIV, to be honest. But I have had a couple of situations, and usually they're just around people who've just recently seroconverted. And they're also usually people that have held a lot of judgment and probably absorbed a lot of stigma from a long time ago and never really worked through it or never thought that it would affect them. So I guess it depends on a lot of different circumstances. But, you know, like, because of the way the medications are today and because of the support in the community and the, I guess that there seems to be generally more acceptance by most people, I definitely don't think it's quite as challenging for most people as it was a long time ago. But, you know, definitely I would say that the way that a person would need to do that, and, you know, like what I did and what I often support others to do, is to get as educated as you possibly can about where we're up to with medications and with treatments and, you know, like the statistics in terms of how long, you know, people are expected to live and all those sorts of things. I mean, the most important thing you can do is empower yourself and build support around yourself, and that support would be, you know, like I know up here in Sydney, the ACON, what's your equivalent down there? I'm not sure.
VAC.
Yeah. I mean, they run a lot of groups up here for people who've recently seroconverted. We've got the Positive Living Centre. There's a lot of resources in the community where you can go and access that sort of information and also meet other people who are in the same situation and also you go off and get personal one-on-one counselling if you feel you need it. But most people I know that have go through this experience and who do it in a really supported way will go off and access the resources in the community.
I have been in the situation where I have been there at the point in time that a friend has seroconverted, and it's happened to me on more than two occasions. It is very, very difficult in that moment in time where they just feel that they feel this sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's like someone has just died, like someone very close to them has just died, and they are just distraught. And that in that space, it's very, very difficult to see anything else other than grief.
Absolutely. And I mean, that it is as though a person has died. It's, that it's like the person I was when I was HIV negative and all the different things that went with that has died. So there will be a grieving process to go through. And generally, like, you know, the grieving process does sort of mean that we have to go through some denial and some anger and some depression and some bargaining and until we reach the point of acceptance. So there's no way that you can tell a person or just accept it, because it's just not really sanely possible to do that. And I guess if you're there with someone who does get that information, the best thing you can do is simply just be there with them and to, you know, answer any questions they have and to be a physical support to them as well. Because you're right, it can be really devastating, but I think just acknowledging that, you know, they may want to deny that it's actually happening. They might, you know, go into anger at some point, you know. Definitely anger is an emotion we feel when we're trying to stop ourselves from feeling pain or hurt or devastation. So, you know, I would definitely recommend not trying to tell someone not to feel the way they're feeling or that it'll be okay, but, you know, just that I'm here with you and, you know, like, we'll be able to work through this, you know, together somehow. And I'm here for you. That's the most important thing to be able to hear, I think.
And often there's a case of there's the fear about having to come out again. The fear about, I mean, when you come out as a gay person, obviously often your parents tell you, you know, make sure you be, okay, yes, you're gay, accept that, but make sure you're safe. And there's that sort of expectation and fear that comes with that, that if you do become HIV positive, that you'll be rejected again.
Absolutely, and sadly, that's exactly what can happen in certain situations. I mean, I did a campaign for the Positive Living Centre up here maybe 2 years ago called Wrapped and Raw, and it was about, you know, negotiating safe sex when you're HIV. And you know, like, I was kind of shocked to discover when they gave me the statistics of the amount of people that, you know, would you know, if someone disclosed to them that they were HIV, that they would definitely not have sex with that person or say, oh, thanks. But, you know, not that I think it's absolutely important that people have a choice and can and have a right to say yes or no, but it kind of startled me because it's never really a major issue in my life anymore because I negotiate and I trust that people can have the right to say yes and no, and that's okay. But, of course...
That takes time, doesn't it?
Sorry?
That takes time to be able to build up that confidence.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's taken years, but initially when a person is definitely at the beginning of that, yes, it's going to take a little while to navigate that landscape again as an HIV positive person, because there are so many things that you're going to encounter that you will never have been used to in your whole gay life. If you're 20 or 30 or even 40 years old, the longer that you've been HIV negative, you know, you've never had to deal with rejection and judgment and all those sorts of things. So you're right, it is like a second coming out, because that's what coming out is about too, rejection and judgment and fear of not being lovable or acceptable. And then it's identical in that way, as you say.
Perhaps you have a question for our counsellor, Stu Fenton. This is how you get in contact with us.
Hide and seek.
Come on, man.
Joy. 1-300-JOY-949. SMS 0427-JOY-949. Email onair@joy.org.au.
Come on!
Delete addictions. Boost your self-esteem. Reconcile those relationships. Here to guide us, Stu Fenton.
He is on the line all the way from Sydney, Stu Fenton. Once you have realised it's not the end of the world, how do you go about, how does one go about creating, a new future, a new perspective of prosperity for oneself?
I mean, I guess that's going to be different for everyone too, but I think, you know, one of the important things is to talk to other people that have been HIV positive for a while and find out what they're doing and how they're coping. And I think the other thing is getting information from your doctor and just knowing, like, you know, when I first contracted it and I went to see my doctor, he sort of told me the statistics that I would probably live for at least another, at that time, 30, 40 years. And I thought, God, I'll be, you know, 70 or 80. That'll be a good lifespan. And that was very comforting and supportive to me. You know, like, I realized it wasn't what it was in the 80s or the 90s at all. You know, so that's one part of it. I think the other part of it too is making sure you still maintain a healthy lifestyle and that you eat food well and that, you know, you get your bloods done every 3 months or 6 months. I think it's 3 months they suggest now, so that you can make sure that everything's working well and there's no kidney enzyme sort of increases or anything like that, and that you're exercising healthily and that you're not just sort of going out and partying and doing drugs and not taking care of yourself. So,
but therein lies the temptation when you, and more often than not, and I'm sure you've seen it, people will just throw caution to the wind and say, well, bugger it, you know, I'll just go and party.
Yeah, and sadly, you know, like I have seen some of that as well, and in fact, the people that I have seen that are HIV related deaths, it's not because they weren't. Well, usually it was because they were partying and taking drugs in combination with, and ended up getting pneumonia and stuff like that. But it took for them to consistently not take their medication and to consistently party and not look after their health for it to get to that point. You know, so. Yeah, I mean, if you understand the facts and that it's no longer a terminal illness and that it's a chronic disease that's as manageable as diabetes, which is what they say, then you also know that there's enough support and there's enough medical knowledge and enough resources for you to basically live a normal life. And, you know, just last year and this year, as you probably heard, they've brought out the one tablet per day option. You know, years ago it was many, many tablets. So most people can just get up in the morning, take a tablet, get on with their day, and don't even think about, you know, that there's anything terrible down the track. You know, as long
that's
as
that's by no means a reason for complacency, however.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, I do know that there's people who do, you know, sort of go out and party and do all that sort of behavior thinking the worst. But I just think if you're informed enough these days about really what having HIV means, then I'm not sure. I would imagine that people in that situation would be people that have a lot of self-judgment and a lot of shame and guilt around contracting it and fear about what other people would think.
Stu Fenton, thank you very much for joining us on this preview, I guess, to our World AIDS Day special next week. I really do appreciate your input this evening.
Thanks, Steve.
And you can find out more information about Stu and his services by going to practicalpowerfulgaymen.com.
Gain peace and joy with clarity and insight. Check out Stu Fenton's website, practicalpowerforgaymen.com.
Hide and seek.
Brought to you by Joy sponsor Manhouse, where trade membership is free and very rewarding.
Manhouse.com.au.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.